In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I have to confess, I had difficulty with the readings today, trying to figure out what to say, trying to figure out where I wanted to go with them, trying to figure out what needed to be said. It's interesting, as I sat there listening, just as you did, several things began to pop into my head. We have the first reading, which deals with the law. We have the second reading, which actually talks about the body of Christ. We have the third reading, which talks about the promise of Christ. So just as I've done in the past, let me give you some little insight into some parts of this, especially the gospel. This was a common thing that was done. Somebody was chosen in the synagogue to actually read a passage of Scripture and teach on it. Wouldn't do that in the church today, would you? So they would choose somebody from the gathering that was considered to be a teacher, considered to be a leader, an elder, considered to be someone who was considerably knowledgeable. And they would listen to what they say. Jewish commentary is fascinating. If you look at some of the original Jewish commentary, they'll go through and they'll have a passage. And it's on a big sheet of paper. And the passage is in the very center of this paper. And all around it, all of the popular rabbis, the ones that are considered the greatest, all around it are writing their thoughts, filling up the whole page of what this scripture means, how it can be interpreted, where it's going, what it's saying, what it's doing, what its purpose is. It's fascinating. Still use those in seminary today. Most of them aren't known to people that sit up in congregations, which is a shame. We have roots that come from the Jewish faith. That is important stuff. We've got the law. We've got the body. We've got the promise. The way the Jewish people react to the reading of the law by Ezra is very interesting. And unbeknownst to many, is actually a common reaction to hearing the law. I remember the first time that I read the Bible for myself, regardless of church interpretation, regardless of commentary, just myself. I remember how badly it broke me. And I remember how much of a joy that was. That sounds very strange. Very disconnected, right? I read the Bible for myself the first time, and I began to understand what was put forth not only in the Old, but in the New Testament. And it shattered everything that I knew or thought I knew about the world. It was an incredible thing. Incredible thing. You cannot help but drop to your knees and put your face on the ground. It cannot be stopped. We begin to understand when we do that how broken and hard-hearted we are. Which brings me to another point. I've said this story before, but I want to say it again. There was a young Jewish boy that went to his father and said, "Father, why do the Jewish people wear phylacteries over their heart?" Phylacteries are little boxes that scripture's kept in. And his father looked the son in the eye said, "Son, I'll tell you. God knows that the human heart is a very hard and cold thing. He knows that we are stubborn. We wear the word of God over our hearts so that when our heart cracks, God can seep in." When we are broken, God seeps in. Do you understand that? When we are broken, we awake to a new life. When we understand that we are not perfect and not God's, is when we truly begin to live. We are like the people in Ezra's time, falling on our faces, worshiping the Lord because we begin to understand what is set before us. Then comes the body. And there's something very incredible about that that we often pass over as well. This church is not me. This church is not simply the Episcopal Church of St. Francis in Chesterton. This church is not even simply part of the national church. Something we often forget. We know this because we hear phrases like "those Jews" or "those Catholics," "those Protestants," "those Lutherans," "those Calvinists." This church is in fact part of the body of Christ, which changes the game. This church does not determine for the world what Scripture means, just as the Catholic Church does not determine for the world what Scripture means, just as the Lutheran Church does not determine what Scripture means, or the Calvinists, or the Protestants, or the Baptists, or the Pentecostals. Choose your saying. What determines what Scripture means is God in the body of Christ. In other words, the body moves together. Together. In recent times, I don't know why, but "together" has become a dirty word. Together, you're racist. Together, you're homophobic. Together, you're bigoted. Together, you're nationalist. No, that's not what that means. Together, we are the body of Christ following God's will. That's what that means. It should break us. It should break us. Oftentimes it doesn't. It fractures us internally. He said, she said, my way or the highway. That wasn't what happened with Ezra, is it? That wasn't what happened with the people of God upon the rediscovery of God's word. They came together. They became a body. They awaited faithfully in the promises of God, delivered by Christ. Now, honestly, in modern day times, if we were to have somebody come into the church, read Isaiah as scripture, then sit down, and the sermon started off with, "Today this has been fulfilled in your sight," what would you say? Seriously, what would you say?
Amen.
You'd be one of the few. The first thing you'd hear is, you are a nut. You need to leave now. Stop and think about that for a minute. If we were to hear Christ come in our midst and actually read part of the scripture and then sit down and say, today this has been fulfilled in your sight, people would run him out of town. Why? Why would they do that? Very simple. Doesn't fit their narrative. And when we start to think like that, we miss the entire point. There are no captives that are freed. There are no oppressed that have a better life. The poor are not welcome. The hungry are not fed. And we've missed the most important part. It doesn't fit my narrative, so it can't be true. Allow the Word of God to utterly destroy you. Allow it to annihilate you and erase your very existence. Through that, we become something more. We not only hear the promise, our hearts break, God seeps in, and we become the promise. I know we have nurses here. This concept should be familiar to many of our nurses. What happens to a bone that is broken when it's set and has a cast put on it? What happens to that break?
Heal.
Not only does it heal, what happens after? Becomes stronger. People who break the same bone do not break the same bone in the same spot. That's the Word of God. When we become broken, we are brought through to the other side in the midst of the promises of Christ and become stronger. In that strength, we become a body. In that body, we carry out what God promises to carry out. It's the here, but not yet. After I read the Bible for the first time, I couldn't watch TV, not even talking about news. Could not watch TV, could not watch a show, a program, without crying, without seeing pain and suffering, and actually having a response to it. Something that did not happen before. I became more connected with the world and the people around me. I'm oftentimes asked why I'm so brash or crass. Well, simple answer. It has been my experience with most people that I run up against is that's the only way you are heard. My job is not to make people happy. It is to spread the good news that reaches the ends of the earth. Why do we wear God's scripture over our hearts? Because it is only in brokenness that God can seep in.